Kia koutou, ngā mihi nui, kia koutou, hope you are well. Season's greetings. Lots to pray for and be mindful of for people at the moment. So for those who don't know me, my name's Ben. We've only been here for about 15 months and doesn't feel like home yet. Kind of Sarah was saying in the car, still kind of feels like we're on holiday a little bit. But it hasn't quite hit the home thing. It is this home. It doesn't feel, we're getting there. But just importantly too, the Black Caps are about to start cricket shortly, so we should say a prayer, offer a sacrifice, do anything to help them win the cricket against a very average South African team. There we go. Jokes aside, let's just where you are, why don't you just close your eyes and just sit there knowing that God is here, that you aren't alone. God sees you, desires you, and God, as Jesus says, draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. So like a picture of a hand, see a hand holding, reaching out to you. That's the invitation of Jesus. And it's our role is to reach back, is to grab his hand, and to respond to his generosity towards us. So just where you are this morning, you might see a hand. Let's just make sure we just stay knowing that God is present. That we would hear God this morning and know his spirit. And that we would be like Samuel, would hear the call, hear his voice. This is not just for the priests. It's not just for the people who are paid clergy. This is for everybody. Everyone can hear. God speaks to everybody. So we listen to you today. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hey, if you chuck my slide up, thank you. Before I start talking to this, in your newsletter, if you're not part of, we don't have your contact details, please, there's some paper at the back or prayer request cards. If we haven't got your email or whatever, that's a really key way for us to keep in touch with you. So make sure that we do have your contact details or talk to Lydia. Lydia, you'll put your hand up. She is our wonderful resource coordinator and takes information like that. So please, we want to keep you in the loop of what's going on. And we're doing Lent this year. You've heard me talking about formation in this. It's a fancy word for discipleship, really. That all of us are being formed by something. The key is that we want to be formed by Jesus. And formation is about learning our apprenticeship to Jesus, mimicking his life, what Jesus did, what he said. And we want to grow deeper in that this year and the years to come. So you'll hear us talking about formation a lot. It's here to stay. We just, Sarah and I and the Kaitiaki, believe deeply this is important for the church at large. That our apprenticeship to Jesus is everything. So that's what we want to do. Does anyone know who this person is up here? Stephen Curry. Steph Curry is a point guard for the Golden State Warriors, which is the San Francisco area. He's one of the most famous basketball players in the world. His annual salary is about $51 million a year, which is pretty close to my salary. It's like... Pretty close. To put that in perspective, in about 3 hours worth of work each week, he's earned my yearly salary. So there you go. For 3 hours work, he does pretty well. Fairly well. And Steph Curry is also, he's also a Christian. He's very vocal about his faith. Now these are the Steph Curry, Under Armour Curry Ones. These are his shoes. Now, why, Ben, are you talking about some basketballer and his shoes? Well, let's get to that. As you can see on the right there is a little number, 4-13. Why does a basketball player have that on his sneakers? Well, it's a scripture reference. If you buy these sneakers, every sneaker has 4-13 written on them. And that's a reference to this. For I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Actually, as Steph Curry, he says this. It's a mantra that I live by and something that drives me every day. It'll hopefully inspire people to find something that drives them, whether that's a verse or some other motivating force that keeps you hungry and keeps you driven. That's mine. You could pick whatever yours is and let that drive you too as you continue your basketball or whatever field you are in your life. That's quite cool, isn't it? Even when he's playing basketball, if you see him beating his chest, it's not because he's trying to be a gorilla. It's I do this for you, God. So he's quite awesome. Now, when Steph Curry is quoting this verse, he could be saying something like this, that in my endeavors, Jesus gives me strength and motivates me. Yeah? Which is cool. I think that's a nice thing. But Paul, who's the writer of the church, to the church of Philippi, the Philippian letter, it's not quite what Paul was talking about. But you could argue, well, Steph is right, because God does give us strength. He motivates us. I mean, think of Samson. He had supernatural strength, didn't he? And he was a ladies' man. But that's besides the point. Don't follow Samson or his behavior. But Paul wasn't talking about physical strength. He's talking about provision or lack of provision and how Jesus enables him with what he has or doesn't have. So let's put this in context and let's just read the scripture together, because you'll hear what Paul is saying and in the context of what he says. He says this: "How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty." Paul is talking to the church in Philippi and saying, "You guys have been really generous to me. Thank you so much." And he carries on after that to say, "Look, you've really blessed me," and he wants to encourage them. But there's something here Paul is saying that's really important, I think, for us. And I felt, as a couple of weeks I was praying about the year, thinking, "God, where do I start? What do I tell the church? What do you want me to say?" I felt like he wanted me to share this verse, but in the context of what Paul is saying. But I think it's deeply important for us where we are as a people. Now, Paul has been in seasons where he's had plenty and he's had not very much. Do you want to preach for me, bud? You can. Good boy. But he's faced trouble and trial. But the thing is that it's not about what he has or doesn't have. It's how Jesus has enabled him, whatever he's found himself in. And as you can see that I've put there in highlights, I've said, "I have learned the secret." All of us want to know what the secret is. If someone carries a secret, you want to know what the secret is. When I was growing up, and I used to play a lot of competitive golf, I used to have a golf coach. His name was Bob McDonald, and I called him Macca. Now, Bob was always looking for the secret. He was always looking for the secret for longer drives, straighter drives, scoring the lowest score possible, holding the most putts. That's a golfer's desire, is to have the secret to play the best golf for all time, which doesn't work that way, but we're still in search. And Macca, he said to me one day, actually he'd often say to me, he'd say, "Pills." Now, Pills was my nickname in the golf world. Macca saw my dad turn up at the golf course once, and my dad is a pharmacist, and my dad's number plate was Pills. So in the golfing world, in my world, people call me Pills still, and it's reference to that. Not because I'm a drug dealer. He'd often say to me, "Pills, I found the secret." And I'd say, "Oh, yeah, whatever, Macca. What is it this time?" And he says, no, "I found it, and it's this. It's the triple coil power swing." And Macca was explaining it to me, and this guy had found the secret to golf, and Macca had found this new secret and was adopting it, and we just basically joked about it. But Macca found a new secret every week, and every week it was pretty much Pills, "I found the secret." And we all want to know the secret. We want to know the secret to the 12 secret herbs and spices and Colonel Sanders chicken. We want to know what it means to be successful in life. We want to be good at our jobs. What's the secret to success in work? What about continued peace and happiness? We want to know the secret to that. Well, Paul says he's found the secret. And it's this. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. But I've written it in another way, as if to say, as I'm with Jesus, he enables me to be the things he desires me to do or be, because I can't achieve these things on my own cleverness, abilities, and strength. Let me repeat that. As I'm with Jesus, he enables me to be the things he desires me to do or be, because I can't achieve these things on my own cleverness, abilities, and strength. Now, the Psalter got it right when he says in Psalm 18, verse 1, he says, I love you, Lord, my strength. He's not saying, I love you, God, because you give me some strength to go along with my own, because I need a bit of both my strength and your strength. No, I love you, Lord, because you are my strength. Maybe a better word in the New Testament in the Greek, instead of strength, enable. I love you, God, my enabler. The other point in Paul, when he was writing to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 12, he talks about a thorn in his flesh. It's a famous passage of scripture. And he talks about how he's been tormented by the evil one. And he says, I asked God 3 times to take it away from me. And God, Jesus says, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. So rather than Jesus saying, yeah, Paul, I'm going to take that away from you, he says, how about you use this tormenting thing that you're troubled by as a catapult into my love and my presence, that you'd be motivated by this thing that has come against you, that's not from me, that it would motivate, you'd be motivated to come to me because I make you strong. Now, God does take away things from us. That's not, but Jesus is saying that this thing, Paul, is actually, maybe it's a gift in some way to make you come into my arms and operate of my strength and not your own. And he says this at the after Paul's had this revelation, he says this in the Message translation. He says, 2 Corinthians 12:10, he says, now I take limitations in stride and with good cheer. These limitations that cut me down to size, abuse, accidents, opposition, bad breaks, I just let Christ take over. And so the weaker I get, the stronger I become. The weaker I get, the stronger I become. Now, please note, Paul, that's a pretty amazing revelation. From the time that Paul came to Christ and the time that he wrote Corinthians and Philippians, we're talking about maybe 13, 14, 15 years of coming to terms with what it means to be in the strength of Christ. He didn't get it straight away. Some of you here might be really good at that, but I feel like I've been a Christian for 20 years. I'm still coming to terms with what it means to live in God's strength. And I feel like God wants to say to us this year that we need his strength. And I'm just not saying that tokenly. We need his enabling power. More than ever, as Selena said this morning, a normal Christian is someone who's desperate for God. We need God to enable us for the things we need to face this year. And, you know, the thing of being a parent, I've got 3 kids. The thing of being a parent is my job is to help my kids mature and so that they become less dependent on me, so that they can become adults and live fulfilling and meaningful lives, right? That's the job of a parent. But that's not the job of our parent, the father. It's totally the opposite. We become more and more and more dependent on him. But I was at a shopping mall the other day, and it said, on one of the slogans, it said for New Balance shoes or whatever, it said something like, fearlessly independent. And I looked at that thing, I took offense to that. No, you know, I didn't start throwing stuff at it. in that offensive kind of way, but it's like, no, that's not the call of the disciple of Jesus, to be fearlessly independent of Jesus. It's to be hopelessly dependent on him. And actually, the path of a follower of Christ is not to be kind of get to a point where you've kind of met Yoda-like status as an apprentice, and then you kind of start doing your own thing. No, it's just you just keep being more and more reliant on his generosity and his love and his grace, his mercy, his character, more and more so. And I've seen this strength in our people here at church. I've seen it in Marion Hodgkinson last year. Marion is about to have a surgery to put another stent in her brain. Is that correct, Marion? Now, if you spoke to Marion last year, she had this amazing piece about her where most of us would have been like freaking out. And here's Marion relying on God, who is her strength. Reliance completely, and it's spoken to us, and she just has this piece about her. I've seen it in Lin Po Ching. She lost Dave, her husband, last year. It's a difficult year for her and for many of us, but there's this beautiful thing about Lynn that she's been really dependent on God. She hasn't, I haven't seen her try to be clever or try to remain strong out of trying to save face. I've just seen her honest, and she just knows that God is with her. She's just relying on God's strength. I've seen it in Dylan and Jules Riggs, who've started this beautiful cafe at Utanui, which has become our watering hole as a church. They have this beautiful trust in God, that God's going to provide for them. And they are cracking it. They're doing so well out there. We're so proud of them. But I see it in many of you, this reliance on God's enabling power, not just to get by, not just to be reliant and then kind of go do your own thing. I see it time and time again. Now, how does this practically work, to be reliant on God's strength? There's a practical kind of thing for us to outwork in there. And I think, for me personally, I think it starts with confession. It starts with each and every one of us going, God, I need you. It's just simple. It could be as you pray in the day, God, would you help me? I used to be my first job out of university, I hated growing up, by the way. I'm the youngest in my family. I had to become an adult and get a job, you know. And I had this job. It was quite a difficult job. And I remember after a month, I wanted to quit, but I stayed for 11 months thinking I need to have some longevity in my life. But my daily prayer was like this: God, just help me get by. Help me to survive the day. I remember 2 days in that job where I actually looked forward to going to work. If I could go back to my 21-year-old self, I'd say, Ben, you know, maybe you should change your prayer. God, I need your strength today. Enable me today. Enable me. And it's good learning in that, but isn't it true that in our faith we grow in maturity? Well, growing in maturity means to become more reliant on God's strength, more and more so. So I think it starts with confession. I trust you, God. I need you. I think also, too, it takes taking stock in how you rely on God in every area of your life, your finances, your relationships, and your faith. I mean, in my job, for me personally, I mean, I can easily function in the stuff that I do in my job, like write sermons, be nice to people most of the time. I can do those things and not be very reliant on God, which is not great for me and not great for you either, is it? But we can function in our lives and kind of get by and actually just kind of relying on the stuff that's in us, which is not necessarily bad, but it's not going to sustain us for the long term. And it's not going to be the strength that God wants to keep pouring into us, enabling into us all the time. It's just we're going to lose our puff, which I've done plenty of times before. Confession. It's also, I think, three, we have to be mindful of how we have a constant tension of wanting to be our own savior. That we constantly kind of like, oh, I've had you, God, for a bit, now I'm going to do my own thing. That constant sense of pride that we're fighting against, that push. Paul talks about the flesh and the spirit. The flesh is the things of the old things that we that we think we want but that are actually bad for us or don't bring life to us. And the Spirit is the life of God that draws us and calls us. But we're constantly up against this thing of pride, wanting to be our own Savior. Now remember, Paul in that scripture I read before, he talks about, I know what it's like to have not much and plenty. Both. Why do you need God's strength, his enabling power, when you've got everything you need? But he's saying it's the secret in both. It is the secret when you've got nothing and when you've got everything that you need God's enabling power. And for most of us, for me definitely, like I'm feeling successful, I'm doing well, I start to do this to God because I don't need you, God. I'm sweet as now because I've got everything I need. In fact, probably in the Western church, it's probably the greatest challenge is because we have everything that we need essentially, don't we? Most of us have running water, bit of food in the cupboard. Tell that's a lot of big chunk of the world, right? And the challenge for us is it's not that when we don't have much, it's when we have plenty. That's the challenge for us. And Paul says the secret is for that time too, when we do have plenty. I would say it's probably one of the most dangerous times in our faith when we have everything that we need. I mean, the secret is necessary for not just the good times or the bad times, it's all seasons. So, strengthen us, O Lord. In preparing for the message this week, I was praying and I just asked God, is there anything you'd like me to say apart from what I've just said to you? But is there anything that you'd like me to pray for? And I felt this is my impression I got. I felt like God say to pray for those who need courage to trust God and believe in the mystery of God more. And what I think he's saying in that is that some of us are so caught up in trying to control every aspect of our lives that we don't let God be in control, or we don't allow us to go, God, you're in control, and I trust and lean on you. I think that's a prayer for some of us this morning. I feel also to pray for those maybe you need to break some habits in your life. You're stuck in some sinful patterns of behavior. Or you know God's calling to deeper intimacy with him and you may be struggling with, what does that even look like? How do I do that? What does it mean to be closer to you, God? I thought we already are close. And maybe yes, but God wants to go deeper with you. God wants to go deeper with all of us. But we need his help in that. You know, I walked up, last week we had this prayer thing in. We walked around the different pictures and I was kind of like, you know, swanning up, you know, to the pictures thinking I've got this sussed. And I looked at that picture there over there with the picture of the footprints in the sand and the sea. And I felt like God said to me, loneliness. I went a bit like this. I was a bit startled. God, don't make me vulnerable in front of all the people I'm meant to be strong for. And I felt like, and I saw the picture of the footprints and the shores and felt in a moment God kind of speaking to me about, Ben, you think you're lonely. There's this default about you that goes back, you think everything about you is this loneliness about your life. But I'm taking the sea, I'm washing that away. I'm washing away that thought that you feel like you're alone, because I'm not alone, I know that. But my default at times is to go, oh God, no one understands my life, or I'm alone. And God's saying, no, you're not alone, Ben. And I feel like for me, you can ask me this year, I need God's strength to deal with some of that stuff in my life. These lies that I believe, we can't get through some of these things with just willpower. I think, therefore I am. It doesn't help. It does. You can get by with a little bit of willpower, but it doesn't sustain us. And I guess that's what formation is all about, how we are reliant and mimicking and copying and living the life that Jesus calls us to live. Strengthen us, Lord. So I'm done now, but I actually just want to maybe just have a bit of, if we just have Dave, a bit of music, a bit of guitar in the background. But I just want to create a space for people to respond to that. I mean, do you want God's strength this year? Do you want his enabling power for whatever you're facing this year? Because I know that many of you here got many, many things on your plate. I don't discredit that at all. I know some of you walking through business things, health things. It's for many of us, there's many things. So the question is, are you going to do it on your own? Or do you think that maybe you need to be more dependent on the strength of Jesus? Because let me tell you about the gospel. We only have the strength of God because Jesus became weak for us. We have absolute permission to come into his presence and to know God and to know his presence and his power because of what Jesus has done, because he took on weakness so that we would be strong. So, where you are, let's just want to create some opportunities for people to respond. Thanks, Andrew. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Jesus, we just want to acknowledge that you are the power and that you've given it to us as an invitation. So where we are, God, we receive your help because we need you more than yesterday. We need you to enable us more for this year. We need you to show us how to get through the seasons well and to be content with the things we find we face because you enable us to be content in anything. I just want to encourage anybody that just where you, if this feels like a word for you, if you want to respond to the Spirit of God this morning, you respond to Jesus and saying, I need God's strength this year. It's not, please don't feel, it's an invitation. I just want you to stand up where you are. And I want you to open your hands. Because this isn't just a light matter, guys. This is serious. What you're saying is actually, God, have your way in me. What you're saying is, God, I can't do it on my own. I need you. What you're saying is, I am not my own savior. And God wants to enable us, I believe. And what you're saying is you're saying yes to God enabling you to do the things that he wants you to do or needs you to do, and it's not necessarily what you think it needs to be, but you're trusting in God and the power and the enabling he wants to give you. It's trusting in that. Holy Spirit, my friend standing here this morning, I pray, would you fall with a fresh sense of hope and strength about their step right now in your wonderful name, Jesus. I pray, God, that this year would mark something really important in us, not where we've been victorious or overcome many things, but where we've just learned to be more embracing of who you are to us. That would be the key of success for us this year, that we've learned to become more and more dependent on your goodness, your love, your strength, your enabling power in our lives. And for whatever that enabling is for each and every one of us, Holy Spirit, you know, I pray for the grace to just pour onto my friends right now, that they will just know and feel and sense, God, you are doing a good work. You are doing a good work. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. you know, I'm just gonna, you just may want to stand where you are, just keep standing before God. You might feel like you need to respond in prayer and love to pray with you. You might want to come up the front. We've got communion over here at the front here. You might want to take that as saying, God, Jesus, you said to do this in remembrance of you, and I do this today knowing that I need your life, I need your blood, I need your body, I need everything about you in my life today. It could be a response to that. So Andy's going to keep playing, but if you want prayer specifically, love to pray with you. So come if that's you.